America is changing, and so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just the cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on bbc.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to more news from WBEZ anytime on the WBEZ app. Start each day informed. Tap and listen live or on demand. Available on iOS and Android.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. With temperatures dropping, the cold weather is a major problem for migrants. Thousands of people are staying in shelters, police stations, and O'Hare Airport. But plenty of people are sleeping outside in dangerous conditions. So a group of 17 local churches are opening their doors and teaming up with the city to try to meet this urgent need. It's called the Unity Initiative. And while some of these churches have already been housing people, this program expands their reach. We spoke with Reverend Jonathan De La O of Starting Point Community Church, one of the participating churches, and Sun-Times reporter Michael Loria, who has covered the initiative and the issues Chicago migrants are facing. So I started off by asking the Reverend why his church wanted to get involved with providing shelter.
Yeah, there was a pastor friend of mine early May was asking me what we were doing as a church to the second wave of migrants. The first wave came in August 2022.
Right.
And he says, hey, this is going to be bigger. What are you guys planning to do? We're a small church. We're like, you know, we'll pass out clothes and whatnot. And then he said, hey, would you be interested in housing people? And I said, no, I don't know how that's going to work logistically and practically. And then he told me, go to the police station, check it out. And that's when I went, and little by little, the Lord was convicting me to say, like, hey, we need to open up.
Whereabouts in the city is your church?
We're on the northwest side, Belmont Cragen neighborhood.
Okay. And Michael, you know, sheltering at police stations, that was supposed to be a temporary situation in the first place, right? Remember when we heard about that?
Yeah.
What's happened over the last year?
A lot has happened, but I mean, going back to the fact that, you know, since August 2022, over around 26,000 migrants have come to Chicago, and as the city has, you know, moved to try and open up shelters, yeah, they started putting people in police stations, but it got to the point where they were, you know, severely overcrowded. And as you mentioned with the weather, you know, that's kind of really, I think, put, you know, people in a situation where something needs to be done urgently. I was speaking with a nurse who volunteers at a police station who told me about how after she got off her shift, I believe it was Tuesday afternoon, you know, she went to the station where she normally goes to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
And at that station, the migrants there are not allowed to go inside. And she told me how they were literally outside shaking from the cold. They couldn't drink water because their bottles were frozen solid. I mean, she broke up crying as she was telling me about this.
Yeah, I can imagine. Can you recall a moment, Pastor, where you had the realization about how important this work is?
Yeah. The ministry has divided into two. We go to the police stations, too, the ones neighboring around our church, and we service our migrant residents who are staying with us. And I was sharing earlier today about a gentleman that we received from D14. We packed them in the car. They're always like confused, like, this is legit. We're going to move into a church. And I was in the basement showing them where the showers were at, where the kitchen, where they can cook, and opening cupboards and cabinets. And one gentleman, when I opened the cabinet, he saw all the snacks and all the food and all the supplies that he hadn't seen maybe for years, you know, giving back, you know, going back to his days in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
And the term taken aback is usually used figuratively, right? There's like, I was taken aback. This guy literally took a step back because he was overwhelmed by what he saw. And that overwhelmed me.
Wow.
And immediately he just started crying. And we just meeting there for the first time. We just had a couple conversations before.
Mm-hmm.
And so my instinct was, the pastor in me was to go and embrace him and tell him, like, you're safe here, and this is your new home.
Yep.
Tell us more about this Unity initiative, Michael.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, the reach of the program is kind of small, right? There's, I think it was announced on Tuesday. On Wednesday, they picked up 100 folks from stations. You know, out of right now, we're at just 1,000 people or so staying in stations, staying at O'Hare. So, you know, that's not a lot of people. But at the same time, too, for the folks that are getting picked up, as you heard with Jonathan here, that's like it makes a really big difference for them. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, talk about what inspired Reverend Zayas.
Yeah, right. So this program goes back to, you know, actually the very first bus. And this Reverend John Zayas of Grace and Peace Church in, I believe it's also the Belmont Cragen neighborhood, he started, you know, helping the city out by having migrants come to his church. Eventually that turned into a situation where he was actually giving them temporary housing until they could find long-term housing. You know, just through his church alone, he told me that he found housing for 400 migrant families.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, along the way started picking up additional churches to participate. Yeah.
You spoke with a mother and daughter who got housed in one of these churches.
Right.
Give us the story of Jimena and Camila Juma.
Right. So I met Jimena and Camila at a church in Oak Park that had recently started housing migrants.
Okay.
This was just after the first snowfall at the end of October. They had been staying at the police station in Belmont Cragen, actually. And they actually had been outside for that first snowfall. And when I met Camila, she, you know, little five-year-old girl, she told me about how all that night she had been shaking in her covers, right, until the next day when she was picked up by a pastor who brought them over to Calvary Memorial Church in Oak Park, which had just started to participate. You know, I think that that first sort of real cold kind of got a lot of people moving to help out. We saw also, like, that's when the village of Oak Park started housing people as well. Yeah.
So how do you feel, Pastor, about this expanding to become this city church partnership?
Yeah, I feel good. I mean, Pastor John Zayas, I spoke to him before we brought people in and just trying to get advice. And he was super supportive. And
what did he say?
He said, do it. He said, this is what we're called to do. And I agree 100% with him because, like I was sharing with a few people, like we go to church on Sundays and we sit down and receive. And it's almost like going to sports practice. We know the drills. We know the exercises. We got to execute it for game day. And this is game day now. Like, it's time to put into practice what we're preaching. And so he was saying, like, you know, let's do this. And we were trying to, you know, I helped very small, but he was a bigger push in this, other churches to do this in small ways. I mean, we have 20 guys, you know, it's not compared to the shelters. We understand that we're not, but if churches come alongside and you know, there's love and care and biblical support in there, then, you know, we feel like there's start changes. So I'm very optimistic to see how this turns out.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried that, you know, these churches, you know, may not know, or like shelters, right, may not know what they're getting themselves into, but praying that
yeah,
that
I mean,
encouraged.
Talk about some of the very real challenges that, I mean, even you have faced so far.
Yeah, I'm...
this is not easy.
No, so like security, food, resources, social services. I get constantly asked, Pastor, ¿dónde puedo agarrar trabajo? Where can I find work? And, you know, I'm not on a site that has numerous jobs, like, oh, here, you know? And so just the small things, like, where do I get medical attention? Where do I, you know, go for these resources? I think, you know, when a church has capable people, members in the church, community members around the church that have, you know, access to these resources and are plugged into the network of, like, other churches or other shelters or other organizations that can help, it's a citywide, you know, push, a citywide endeavor that we need to be partaking in.
Give us the sense of scale here, Michael. I mean, how many churches and how many migrants each church will help? And then also, how many folks are still camped out in those police stations in O'Hare?
Yeah. So this is kind of getting started right now, as, you know, a lot of progress has been made to empty out police stations. I think right now 10 have been emptied out. I mean, a few of the ones that do have migrants there are still quite overcrowded. I mean, if you go down the Deering Police Station in Bridgeport, 35th and Halsted, I believe that's about 35th and Halsted, you'll see that folks are still camped out on the street. We are down quite a lot. You know, we're down to about 1,000 people now, which is about where we were at the start of August.
Police stations.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in mid-October or early October, it was about 3,500. So that's quite a big difference. For the Unity Initiative itself, you know, it's 17 churches that Zaya said are going to participate. Some of them are already housing migrants, so it's not like there's going to be 340 migrants taken out of stations immediately. It was just 100 to start, mm-hmm. but more, I think, now that the city is part of this or helping get this word out, I think they expect more churches to participate. I think that's the hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand, Pastor, you've got space for 20 people.
Right.
You have had 22 people pass through your doors and sort of transition out since you started this in May.
Yes.
Talk about the transition process. What does that part look like?
Yeah. About half of the so we got only guys. You know, we decided only men. We mm-hmm. saw that the shelters were picking up women, children, families, and left a lot of guys at the stations. And so we decided to do only men. And men, you know, these guys have been really proactive in trying to find work and trying to find living for themselves. So yeah. About half the guys found it on their own. Pastor, I got a job. I'm making good money. I'm going to move out. Cool, man. You know, great to have you. We take a picture, you know, commemorate this moment. Invite me to have coffee and sweetbread at your apartment whenever you're ready. And then other guys like, you know, Pastor, can you help me find an apartment? Believe it or not, the most success that we've found are people who have moved out of state. Miami, I have New Mexico. I have someone that was that moved out this week to Hawaii.
Oh, really? So they're leaving Illinois completely.
Leaving Illinois completely. And so, but like, again, like we are, our bandwidth is only so long. And so we only commit to certain things. And when we can find apartments and whatnot, we do.
Yeah,
we will.
I hear that as part of this process, too. You've even gotten the chance to see some families reunite.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
So a few examples, just guys that were like, hey, my wife is in Mexico. They're about to, you know, cross the border, or, you know, they have a court date so that they can come out to Chicago. And so we had to first make sure that they had a place to stay, a place to receive. One guy in particular, they wouldn't let his wife and daughter come from Texas until they were able to see, like, okay, you have an apartment, you have a safe space for your daughter. And so we fixed it. We got an apartment, we fixed it up, and then a week or so later, they came, and
what's that like for you to witness?
I have my own kids, right? I have 2, 4, and 8, and this gentleman, he missed his daughter's first birthday by a few days.
Oh.
And he was just kept saying, I mean, oftentimes with tears, like, I want to see my daughter. I want to see my daughter. And then I didn't get to see them in person, but I did get a video of them, like, kind of reuniting. And it was worth it.
Wow. We know that in the background, too, Michael, there's this 60-day limit that the churches right. have in this initiative that they've agreed to with just like the city-run mm-hmm. shelters. Remind us of how that limit works and just the reaction that it's been getting so far.
So this was a recent announcement from Mayor Brandon Johnson. They're going to start imposing a 60-day shelter limit on folks. It's going to be rolled out at different times. So the first people to see it are not really going to see it until mid-January. And then I think in early February, a couple thousand more people will mm-hmm. will get those notices if they're still in shelters. So they're saying that this same sort of limit is going to be applied to churches. I kind of have a sense from the pastors that I've spoken with, however, that it will depend on where their folks are at in terms of finding housing. I also
it's
kind of imagine
case by case situation.
I mean, you can definitely speak to this, Pastor.
Is 60 days enough, Pastor?
So he's right. It depends, especially those places that have families in them. To get an apartment, you have to have at least two incomes. And so for families, like you'll make sure that you have a father and a mother working. In my case, I send my guys out two or three at a time to an apartment because they can't make it on their own.
Like as roommates?
As roommates.
Okay. Okay. This is a privately funded initiative. Is the city involved at all?
Right. So this is something I've been also trying to parse recently myself, trying to figure this out. When I asked Zayas about this, he said it was privately funded. He didn't tell me any more about where that funding was coming from. I think now, however, that the city is kind of helping get the word out, and I think they're facilitating with transportation. They are hoping that, again, more churches will participate, that more funding for this will come in. And then I think hopefully they're trying to also facilitate wraparound services at these churches. But these are a lot of things that remain to be seen.
We've been talking about an initiative between churches and the city to temporarily house migrants. And we've been discussing this with Reverend Jonathan De La O, who's a pastor of one of the participating churches, and Michael Loria, a Chicago Sun-Times reporter who's been covering this partnership. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This episode was produced by Max Lubers and edited by Dan Tucker and Brenda Ruiz. If you like this conversation, you might also enjoy reading the Reset newsletter. It's delivered straight to your inbox each weekday at 10 a.m. You can sign up by visiting wbez.org/resetnews. That's it for this episode. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.